All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday, but it's not Payne. It's B. Scott. He's with me today and tomorrow. We'll be at Texans training camp tomorrow. This time tomorrow, practice will be kicking off. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Nick Caserio meets with the media at 8:30. Practice at 9. D'Amico Ryans and players meeting with the media. I would imagine tomorrow will be a headliner player day, if I had to guess. You'd probably a C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson kind of day.
You would think.
Maybe they spread those guys out a little bit over the course of the week. We're getting the assistant coaches on Friday this week, which is usually just them and no players. So
yeah, and it's a training camp schedule, which is different from a regular season schedule. But those guys do normally talk on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they would apply that logic to training camp, but
I'd be shocked
if it works perfectly.
I'd be shocked if we didn't get C.J. Stroud tomorrow. Post-practice. He's the quarterback of the team. You know what I mean? Just like right out of the chute. I'd be surprised.
It would make sense. And another way to put it about tomorrow, the excitement of it all, you can say this with your chest, football season officially starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know they haven't played any games yet.
No.
But it starts with training camp. Once we literally touch grass, football season, 24 hours from now, we'll have officially started.
Last thing on Jalen Hurts, because we're getting a lot of diverse opinion on Jalen Hurts and where he stands. We played the audio from Cam Newton a little bit earlier saying Jalen Hurts, not a top 10 QB. This is just more of a nostalgia thing, but a texter reminds us, and this checks out timeline-wise, because Jalen Hurts didn't become the full-time starter in Philly until 2021.
Right.
Which here was the David Culley year where Deshaun Watson was just on the roster and inactive every week.
Yeah.
Texter reminds us, Hurts was a potential throw-in as part of a proposed Deshaun Watson trade with Philadelphia. Now, I don't know if that was an actual trade proposal that the two teams exchanged, but Philly was one of those teams that early on, I think probably like early on before the lawsuits, because once the lawsuits hit, the hypothetical trades kind of, they didn't screech to a halt because that's what we do in this business, but I'm guessing that Nick Caserio's phone probably wasn't ringing a ton after the lawsuits started flying, but when Deshaun requested the trade officially, which was the day that David Culley was announced as the head coach in late January, the next 6 weeks were all potential, you know, either an article a day on hypothetical Deshaun Watson trades. I definitely remember seeing some, the texter is right. I definitely remember seeing some with Jalen Hurts coming back in the trade. And I honestly, at the time, like Jalen Hurts was a guy who got in for four starts at the end of the year replacing Carson Wentz and went 1-3 in those four starts.
Yeah.
It was probably something where it's like, I don't know, man. And now the guy's a Super Bowl champion.
I can tell you for a fact that I would not have been interested at the time. Like, so at the time,
there would have been draft picks too, probably, obviously.
And so that would have been fine. Yeah. But at the time, that made sense. It's like we're still talking like it's 2021.
Yeah.
It ain't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
With Hurts, you mean?
With Hurts. That's what I'm saying. So, like, it's fine if that was the case in 2021.
Right.
That was also before he went to two Super Bowls and played well in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you've got to reaccount. You got to do a reaccounting and reassess the opinion and go back on it and say, okay, is what I said before still true today? And it's not.
The Texans have the 13th best roster in the NFL, according to various contributors to ESPN.com, the 13th best, which at first blush feels low because they are a team that's still been standing with seven other teams at the end of the last two seasons. They've been one of the last eight teams remaining in each of the two seasons where D'Amico Ryans has been the head coach and C.J. Stroud has been the quarterback. And the roster, I feel like it's – I know they got rid of Laremy Tunsil. I feel like this is a better roster now than it was – than it was a year ago, certainly better than it was at the end of last season.
Yes.
You know, the roster a year ago had Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell on it. You know, Laremy Tunsil was still here. However you feel about him, he was unquestionably the most talented of the offensive linemen last year. He's not here anymore, and he's more talented than anybody they have right now.
That part.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it's like, okay, so what, to your point, the Texans, one of the final eight, as you mentioned. Also, okay, how many divisions are there in the NFL? Six, three in each conference, right?
In the NFL? There's eight. Four in each conference.
Four in each conference.
Four teams,
okay, my bad.
Yeah. Each conference, four divisions.
So four, I'm sorry, I did the math poorly there.
Yeah.
So four divisions, and they've won one of them.
Yeah, last two years.
The last 2 years.
Yep.
So, like, regular season, one of the top teams, mm-hmm. and then playoffs, win a game, become one of the top eight. So yeah. it makes you think they got to be somewhere 8 to 10.
8 to 10.
You know?
And they're 13th, which, you know, again, subjective list, ESPN, it's whatever. I think they're better than the 13th best team. We're going to find out. They play 7 of these teams throughout the course of the season. They play 3 of them in the first 5 weeks of the season. First 2 weeks of the season, they play 2 of them. Yeah. Tampa Bay is 12th on this list, and the Rams are 8th on this list. Those are their first 2 opponents, and not in that order. They play the Rams in the opener, and then the home opener, Monday Night Football, they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which should be a really fun Monday Night Football game. And then they play Baltimore in Week 5 going into the bye week.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to get some truth dealt to us here about what the Texans are right out of the chute this season. The teams that made me scratch my head a little bit that are above the Texans on here, the Denver Broncos at 6, a little bit of a head scratcher to me. The Rams at 8, it feels a little high, but I'm okay with that. You pointed this out, B. Scott, and I think it's a great point, and I think it's accentuated here by things that are going on with the Bengals that are timely right now. The Bengals are 9th on this list. The Bengals are 9th on this list, and they are trash on one side of the football. They're a bad defensive team whose best defensive player is in a holdout right now and whose number one draft pick on the a defensive player, Shamar Stewart, is also in a contract dispute with the team right now. And the rest of the defense ain't that good. And they're 9th. Largely, I'm not even guessing. I mean, largely, it says right here, on the biggest strength for the Bengals is wide receiver, their passing game, basically. They're 9th on the strength of Joe Burrow having a season last year like he may never have again.
Yeah.
If he's on any other team with any other amount of wins, above 9 wins, he's probably the MVP of the league last year. He had 3 touchdowns and 250 yards passing the final 10 games of the season last year.
Burrow and Chase, for that matter. Yeah. Like, the two of them, the combination of them, who, like, by the end of it, will probably be viewed as all-time greats, both of them. Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow, they're operating on the strength of those guys, are being voted in this poll here on the strength of those two guys, almost like they're a basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this is basketball and you've got the basketball equivalent of a Joe Burrow and a Jamar Chase,
yeah,
okay, I get it. Yeah. I hear you. But those guys can't play defense. They don't play defense.
That's right.
So they can't help you in that regard. It's why you're scoring 30 a game but giving up close to 40, and you're losing.
I like that.
So, I mean, that logic does not apply here. I get it. Those guys are great. But, yeah, I mean, you're supposed to be evaluating an entire team here.
Do you agree with these for the Texans? They have biggest strength, biggest weakness, X factor, and non-starter to know. Biggest strength, edge rusher. And when they list them all, I'm not just talking Hunter and Will Anderson. When they list all the guys at that position, it's hard to find. I mean, cornerback might be in the conversation.
No, because this one's the only one that's top-heavy and deep.
Yeah,
They've got some positions that are deep. They got some positions that are top heavy. This is the one that they have that is both top heavy and deep.
Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson are your two starters. It's hard to find a duo that's better than those two in the league. I don't think you can. And then they're backed up by Denico Autry, who, you know, again, older player who needs to stay healthy and stay unsuspended.
But a dog. Yes.
I mean, Nick Caserio called him bad MF-er, a guy you'd want on our show, said guy's a bad MF-er, a guy you want in a dark alley with you, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Derek Barnett, who's been just an excellent pickup by the Texans, picked him up on the waiver wire in 2023, filled in really nice. You know, Will was missing some games the end of that year. Derek Barnett got picked up in the second half of the season, had like 3.5-4 sacks that year, had 2 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
For what he is, you know, 1 year, $4-5 million guy, Derek Barnett is a really solid depth piece.
Talented dude.
And Daryl Taylor, who had 20 some odd sacks over the course of 4 seasons so far in the NFL, including a 9.5 sack season at one point, he's your 5th guy at that position. You know, Dylan Horton was doing some decent things at the end of last year.
Yeah.
Those are probably your 6 guys at defensive end if you keep 6. So I agree with them on this. I disagree with them on biggest weakness, as do you. They say interior defensive line and say offensive line was a strong candidate, but defensive tackle is arguably a larger concern. I'm going into the season with relatively no concern at interior defensive line. I'm not saying that they're great.
Nah.
But
they're not concerning.
I'm not concerned about. I'm not nearly as concerned as I am about the offensive line. I don't know where this guy's come. This last name is Clay, who wrote this paragraph of the evaluation. I don't know where this is coming from, that the offensive line is not a bigger concern than the interior of the defensive line.
Yes.
No chance.
To me, the only knock on the interior defensive line that you might have, and I wouldn't make this argument, I'm just throwing it out there, they got some what could be considered relatively no names. Like, it's not a name brand gonna wow you type of unit, but they're solid guys. They've been productive. And I think I pointed this out with Clint when they first brought back Sheldon Rankins. They've had a hodgepodge of interior defensive linemen over the last couple of years. And then the two best of them, the two best of the defensive linemen over the last couple of years, they decided to bring back. One is Sheldon Rankins, who was on the team 2 years ago, and they brought him back from Cincinnati. Then the other one was Mario Edwards, who was on a one-year deal, and they brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been putting together kind of like this make what feels like a makeshift interior defensive line. And then out of that makeshift, they took the two best guys and decided to bring them back on top of that. And
yeah.
So, like, I have actually zero concerns about the interior defensive line, even if I can acknowledge none of these guys are stars.
Can't have all pros everywhere. You know, that's so they got some solid journeymen in there that I think the ones that were on the team last year all overachieved relative to what I was expecting from Settle and Edwards and when healthy Fatakasi.
All complimentary, too. Like, play well with the guy next to him type of thing, which I know is kind of a Seth Payne could probably talk to you guys better about that. But, like, playing well next to the guy or playing well with the guy that's next to you is something that these interior defensive linemen also do.
X factor for 2025. I can get with this. Jaden Higgins, rookie wide receiver, talking about losing Tank Dell. Obviously, Diggs left in free agency. Diggs, by the way, cleared for practice with New England today. So he'll be on the practice field for the Patriots. Wish him well. If Higgins can be that player, talking about being a guy who can step in and do Tank Dell, obviously a different style player than Tank Dell, not replacing how it gets done, but the productivity, then the Texans would have a formidable receiver room with Nico Collins on the outside and Christian Kirk in the slot. And I know you'd probably, as I would, throw Jalen Noel in there if he's healthy, that he could contribute as well.
Yeah, I think either one of those two guys would be a good pick for an X factor. Obviously, ESPN here picks Jaden Higgins. Like, if he could be, funny enough, the same last name, if he could be like the T. Higgins to Jamar Chase or the Jordan Addison to Justin Jefferson, right? Like, if he, and different type of player, again, what we're talking about, but sort of that role or a guy who's like, borderline star, could maybe even be a number one or one and a half, 1A type of guy on another team. Like, if he's that, then he's 100% an X factor.
Would you sign up for 750 yards from Jaden Higgins?
Yes.
You would sign up for that right now?
I would sign up for it.
Here's what I'm going to look up.
I don't know. I guess you'd have to tell me, like, what is it? Is it front loaded? You know, like, does he get the 750 and then he's hurt at the end of the year? Obviously wouldn't sign up for that.
Okay, would you sign up for this season for Jaden Higgins?
Okay.
52 catches, 802 yards, and two touchdowns.
Yeah, two touchdowns.
Just two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns feels low, but if he's got 50 some odd catches, that means he's a chain mover. He's moving, he's helping you move.
15 yards a catch is pretty decent.
Yeah. And I mean, in anything over like 50 catches is, I think, a productive season.
Do you know whose rookie year that was?
Let's see, what did you say?
Former Texan.
50 yards.
52 catches.
52 catches, I mean.
802 yards and two touchdowns.
Ooh.
And he was a complimentary receiver to a Hall of Famer.
Oh, DeAndre Hopkins.
That was DeAndre Hopkins' rookie year in 2013. Played all 16 games, had 52 catches, 802 yards, and two touchdowns. He obviously turned into a lot more than that over the course of the next 5 and 6 seasons for the Houston Texans.
Hopkins' rookie year is 2013 or 14?
2013.
Yeah, so that's the year that Chubb is going in the tank.
Yep.
So, like, he didn't. Keenum, by the end of it, is playing.
Yeah.
So they don't really have a quarterback situation to speak of.
Yeah.
And he's, so
this is a much better situation than
that. Yeah, and he almost gets an excuse for the not, you know, for not getting more than two touchdowns.
When Andre had a huge year that year, and to that 2-14 season, Andre put up, you know, Andre put up numbers that year, if I had to go look, that I would expect out of Nico Collins if he played 16 or 17 games.
Yeah, fair enough.
I would sign up for 52 catches, 802 yards, and two touchdowns for Jaden Higgins right now.
Yeah.
Right. And I know the two touchdowns feels kind of, I would sign up for that right now.
You know, I would punch the ticket, I guess, with the caveat that someone is scoring touchdowns. Like,
you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, he's only got the two, but that means that, you know, Nico has more, or Dalton Schultz has a few, or maybe they rush for several. Nick Chubb's on the team now. Maybe he's your, you know, goal line guy, something like that.
Non-starter to know. And I don't know that this guy's a non-starter for this team, actually.
Yeah, who is this guy right now?
Blake Fisher,
man?
He has as a non-starter to know.
Does he know something that we don't about Blake Fisher in this offensive line?
I don't know. I'm going to see who they have as the starting tackles here. This, the left tackle. Oh, hang on a second.
That's probably Cam Robinson, but who, like?
Cam Robinson. Okay. He has Titus Howard as the right tackle.
Oh, so he's not
familiar. Guy also has Jimmy Ward starting at safety.
Oh, okay.
All right. This ESPN, you're a little lazy. You know what? 13th? 13th. The Texans are rated the 13th best roster by the outlet that has Jimmy Ward starting at safety.
Yeah. No.
His ankle bracelet on right now, starting at safety for Jimmy Ward. No. Yeah, no. Kalen Bullock is starting at safety.
So to do this, to write this article, all right, we're going a little inside baseball on ESPN here, but are you not required to at least follow OTAs and minicamp before you do a pre-training camp list of the best teams?
If I were running this website, ESPN.com, that's what I would have my writers do that.
Yeah, I feel like you got to at least know what's going on now.
Yeah.
It's like he looked at the depth chart last year. Like, does he know that Blake Fisher was a starting right tackle? But not just now, by the end of the year.
No. He does mention that.
Okay.
Or they mention it's Aaron Schatz does that paragraph for non-starter to know, and it says the Texans have a lot of linemen in the mix. It has to be surprising for a second-year player like Fisher to look up and see so many players as competition. Fisher had some average at best games at right tackle last season.
That's accurate.
And rough lowlights against the Chiefs in the AFC playoffs.
Yes.
His 85.6% pass block win rate was well below average.
Yeah, no, that's all of that is fair.
All's accurate.
All that is fair. And his job is up for grabs,
I think. No question.
I think that's
He's not anointed in an ink at right tackle. Jimmy Ward starting at safety, though. That was okay.
Yeah, that's outdated.
Yeah. I think even if Jimmy Ward comes back and is exonerated of everything, I don't think he's starting at safety for this team.
Right.
Exactly. I don't think he is. All right. Brandon Scott in for Seth. It's Payne and Pendergast on a Tuesday. All right. At first, we thought we weren't getting this, but now it turns out Hulu has stepped up and is giving us the documentary that I know at least Payne and Pendergast want, much to the chagrin of some of our listeners. We have that for you coming up next. In the final segment coming up, we will relive the magic of Bryce Matthews' game last night. I'm not going to call it a breakout game. It's baseball. There's 8 jillion games in the season, but it was his first real, like, statement game, Bryce Matthews. He's a top prospect for the team, man. He had 2 home runs last night. He won the game for you if you're the Astros.
Maybe not a breakout game, but a moment.
Yeah.
Certainly a moment, something that he'll never forget. And, you know,
and let him keep playing, man.
Yeah.
Let him keep playing.
And hopefully something he can build off of, like the type of game that can prompt a breakout, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like can start the confidence and you know what, I can do this. I did this off of Zach Gallen, a reputable pitcher, albeit somebody that's having a down year. Like, yeah, hopefully that's it's a fire starter for him.
We'll look at this too in the final segment, the little Astros, but you can put a lineup together from guys that are on the injured list right now.
Yeah.
Like a legit lineup.
The way
lineup that you could put next to the actual lineup they trotted out there last night and say, I think you might win a 7-game series with that injured list team, not the team they have on the field right now.
Which is something that we're not used to, as opposed to kind of being used to having enough pitchers on the injured list to where you could at least put together, let's say, a postseason rotation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not a full 5-man. I don't know. If I count them enough now, you probably can do a 5-man rotation.
You get close. Yeah,
But consistently now, it seems like they got at least 3 guys that are on the shelf. Now it's happening with the lineup too.
Excitement level over this headline. Report: North Carolina, Bill Belichick docuseries to be released on Hulu.
I'm in.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this.
I am in.
I think the audience knows that this has been, of non-Houston topics, this has been at the tippy top of Payne and Pendergast topics throughout the course of the offseason here.
Yeah.
Belichick and Hudson.
And I don't know if I would care about it as much if, because obviously we know we don't have to introduce the audience to Bill Belichick. But the big thing about it is how what's going on with Jordan Hudson and this whole, like, saga, this post, let's just call it the UNC era Bill Belichick saga, is that it's just so different from who we know and understand Bill Belichick to be. The dude that's in control, and now he's kind of, and we understand it is undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
But even yes. with Bill Belichick and in this way and in this moment, it's fascinating to me.
Front Office Sports reported this on Friday. A docuseries featuring Belichick and North Carolina football is slated to be released on Hulu. North Carolina was set to host the first ever college football edition of Hard Knocks this offseason. However, the Tar Heels backed out of the deal ahead of the 2025 season. And you remember all the reports that Jordan Hutz and his girlfriend had a lot to do with the Hard Knocks not becoming a thing. Yeah. Whether it was Hard Knocks backing out or Camp Belichick backing out, I don't know how clear that is, but there were reports that she wanted ownership of the Hard Knocks documentary or docuseries. And it was never clarified if it was meant like actual ownership, like a chunk of the action, or heavy say in what goes out, you know, over your TV screen.
Yeah, but the common theme and the thread here with Jordan Hutson is that she seems to want ownership or of something.
Mm-hmm.
She seems to want to be involved heavily in just about everything.
Yep.
It's the influence, and that's the part. Like, we don't necessarily care about Bill Belichick's love life or sex life or anything like that. It's how all of that stuff is dovetailing into a new version of Bill Belichick, you know?
Yeah. The sex life part, no, I don't need that. I am curious about if we put them in different categories, love life and sex life, like, yeah, I don't need to, you know, I don't need to know, like, what Belichick likes in the bedroom or anything like that.
Good on that.
I am curious, though, is this headed towards marriage? Like, is this, you know, how serious is it? Like, what does Belichick prioritize? Is she the priority, or is his coaching career the priority?
We'll see.
She's kind of disappeared a little bit over the last, you know, couple of months.
Yeah,
we haven't heard many stories.
It kind of blew up her spot a little bit.
Will you be disappointed if she's not a big part of this documentary?
Yes. Big part is in, like, as a character, or is it behind the scenes?
No, as a character.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how you tell the story in documentary form without her being a big part
of
it. Okay. So we
do want to know about his love life.
Well, yeah. So, but I guess what I'm saying here in terms of the love life and the question that you bring up, like, is this headed towards marriage?
Yeah.
The reason why I'm so fascinated by it is because it feels like it already has.
Yeah.
Whether they've actually put pen to paper or done the civil union part of it or not. She feels like she has the type of influence and the type of role in the man's life that, say, a wife would,
mm-hmm.
you know?
No question.
So I feel like that question feels like it's already asked and answered.
Well, and take it a step further, you know, not just that a wife would have, but she's very intertwined with his business ventures now.
Right.
All the trademarking that goes on and all the, obviously, a lot of the negotiation that goes on about content related to Belichick, whether it's on social media or in documentary form, she's very intertwined with that.
Yeah.
Or at least she was.
In a way that it seems like only someone that would have to be as close as, say, a wife type would be.
Dude.
You know, to be able to infiltrate in that way.
I'm telling you right now, if we watch this thing and the first episode is just Belichick coaching guys in summer camp and early in training camp, and that's it, like Hard Knocks is.
Yeah.
Then I'm out.
Same.
I'm out. If it's just North Carolina football infomercial, no thanks.
So, same. Because I actually am on the football side of it. I am intrigued by the football element of Bill Belichick at North Carolina and what he can do with the program.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to see no damn documentary about it. I will follow North Carolina football season because Bill Belichick is now there, aside from the Jordan Hutson stuff. But the reason why it makes it a compelling documentary proposition is because of the Jordan Hutson element.
No doubt. No, North Carolina is a top five watch for me, at least early in the season. Curiosity watch.
Yeah.
Top five. Colorado is up there too, post Shadur and Travis. You know, can Coach Prime keep it moving in that direction?
Yeah.
Those are two big ones for me. I'd have to sit down. I may sit down and think about that today. Like, what are non-Notre Dame, because that's the one I watch every week. What are my four or five that I'm going to make a point to go watch this year?
But in for different reasons in a different way, but it has a similar feel to the earliest Deion Sanders at Colorado days.
Yeah.
Like, you know, moving from a different class. I understand it's Deion Sanders moving from the HBCU to the Power Five, and this is actually Bill Belichick going from the NFL to a year off to college football. Mm-hmm. But it is a, hey, I'm familiar with this guy in a different setting, and now he's going to try to go do it over there. He himself is more famous than the actual program that he's joining.
Yes.
Let's see how that goes. It's got that sort of touch to it that the early days of Deion Sanders at Colorado had to it.
Right now, this article on On3.com says it's unclear whether or not Jordan Hudson will be involved in this thing. If she's not part of the on-screen content, I'm out. I don't care enough about North Carolina, the inner workings of North Carolina football. To your point, I'll care about them on Saturdays this coming season.
Tell you what, if she's not a part of it, it shouldn't be on Hulu. They should just put it on the ACC network.
There you go. North Carolina should release it on their social media.
YouTube, yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's what this production is, absent of Jordan Hudson.
Right, right. Which I'm not saying it can't be good. It's just I'm not that interested in North Carolina football.
That makes it North Carolina specific. Let you Tar Heels fans watch it. The rest of us are in for the saga of
I'm curious about this real quick. WWE and Fandango, the movie app, announced a partnership yesterday to show premium live events like SummerSlam. Like what they used to call them pay-per-views, but they, you know, now they're on Peacock. So they call them PLEs now. But they're presenting them in theaters, including the one right across the street from our studios here. Where you could pay. I actually checked the ticket prices. I'm not going to that one because that's when I'm heading up to West Virginia that weekend.
Yeah.
But it's August 2nd and 3rd. It's a 2-night event, SummerSlam. And for $30, you can watch it in one of their, you know, movie theaters. They got really nice theaters over there with it's reserved seating and everything else. You can watch SummerSlam or a WWE event. Are you somebody who would, clearly, if you're doing that, you're doing it so you can be in a room with other fans experiencing it, high-fiving, whatever, you know, cheering live, that sort of thing. Would you be inclined to pay $30 as opposed to sitting on your couch and watching? I don't know if you're a WWE fan or not, B. Scott, but whatever the equivalent would be for you of something like this.
Yeah, I would. Now, I actually am somebody who prefers to watch these things at home, but I do get something out of the community experience of, hey, we're all into this.
Yeah.
This is a very specific thing. Not everybody is into this, but everybody in here is. It's kind of a similar thing with the Marvel movies. Like everybody kind of gets the jokes or when there's a reveal and they're like, oh my God, that's the guy from the other show or whatever it is. I think that wrestling fans would have a similar kinship, if you will. I would be there for the kinship
and fellowship.
For the fellowship of it all. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, to make this about sports, would you do this for a sporting event? Would you pay $30 to go watch a Texans playoff game with other fans because you're in the theater with them? We've seen teams do it for free at the stadium. The Astros did that during the World Series. They would show games on the Jumbotron at Minute Maid, and people were able to go out and watch with other fans. There is something about that fellowship. Would you do that for a sporting event? Would you pay to sit in a reserve seat at a theater to watch a sporting event, given that you're going to be in there presumably with a lot of fellow fans being able to experience it together?
Yeah, if the price, obviously at a reasonable price, and I think $30 is reasonable enough, and I wouldn't pay an exorbitant amount.
Yeah.
But $30 to go and, again, fellowship with fellow fans and to watch it at what is objectively a higher quality, a better quality than whatever you probably have at home. I do have a new movie room at my house, though.
Nice.
I will say that with a projector. But this would be better than that.
Yeah.
And better than at a bar, at most bars. Yeah, I would do it.
Have you seen this? I guess they pronounce it COSM. COSM is how it's spelled.
Okay.
One of these immersive sports bars where you're sitting in theater seating and it feels like you're sitting courtside.
Yeah.
At a basketball game or ringside at a boxing match.
I've not experienced it. I've heard about it and seen it.
It looks amazing on
TV. I would do it.
I would do that in a second. Now, that's next level than just a gigantic movie screen.
I say this all, though, with the caveat that I do still prefer nothing like home.
Yeah.
Give me home over everything.
The beer's cheaper, sure.
But would I do this, especially like, let's say, the fellas, or some of us here at the station, or some my fellow Texans fans out there.
That'd be fun.
You want to go do this?
10 or 15 people and go do it and sit in the crowd? Yeah, that'd be fun.
Like, different from a movie. I'd go watch a movie on my own in a movie theater. Yep. I wouldn't do this on my own.
This is about community.
Yeah.
Like, this whole thing. Yeah.
For sure.
All right, let's relive Bryce Matthews' big night last night. And the lineup the Astros can put together with guys on the injured list is bananas. We'll get to that. We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop as well. All right, let's celebrate Bryce Matthews for a few minutes here. Interesting thoughts coming in on the idea of going and watching sporting events in movie theaters. We'll get to that as well. Here was Bryce Matthews last night. This was his first home run. Astros trailing 1-0, and then in the top of the second, they were no longer trailing thanks to Bryce Matthews.
High fly ball, sky to deep left field. Gurriel Jr. back near the wall. This is gone! First career home run for Bryce Matthews. And the Astros out in front, 3-1.
Attaboy, Bryce.
I'm assuming that's Blum clapping or somebody. Sounds like somebody's clapping very close to
the microphone.
It might
microphone.
Be Callis himself. Who knows? I'm here for it. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
It just sounded like there was somebody clapping in the booth there.
Yeah, they work for the team. It's all good.
That's fine. Yeah, that's right. The bias is allowed. In fact, it's encouraged with the home broadcast.
That's the reason why they don't say no hitter when there's a one going.
That's right.
They don't want to jinx it, apparently.
Don't get me started.
I know.
Top of the second, that was Bryce Matthews. And then in the top of the seventh, the Astros leading 4-3. This is still a game. Top of the seventh, and then Bryce Matthews gave them a little daylight here.
That ball hit high in the air, deep to left field. Forget about it. Bryce Matthews putting on a show in the desert. Two home runs, five runs driven in.
All right, here was Bryce Matthews. Five of the six runs driven in. The other one, Christian Walker. I like seeing that. Christian Walker starting to swing the bat a little bit here. Here's Bryce Matthews on what's the transition been like from the minor leagues to the major leagues.
Yeah, I think after calming down after the first few days, getting all the advice and the confidence boost from all the guys in the clubhouse, it's really helped me settle down and just be grounded, try to be where my feet are, and just be present in the moment. It's been really good for me.
Okay, like where the kids' heads at. Last one here, this is Joe Espada. Talking about the fact that Bryce Matthews is trying to develop as a major leaguer, but doing it in games that matter for a contender in the Astros.
You know, one thing is that, you know, he's developing, you know, player development doesn't end at the major league level. It continues at the major league level. And we have some really good teachers here, you know, on the hitting side, on, you know, Parachica with his defense. So we can continue that process here. But he's open-minded. This kid is coachable. He's tough. And you need to have those ingredients to, you know, to be able to finish yourself here at the major league level.
Yeah, man, I'm actually having fun watching the Astros, specifically with this Bryce Matthews thing, but also Cam Smith, watching them balance development and chasing, right? They're chasing a pennant, chasing a World Series, but also have these young players, these rookies on the team that they're relying on. It's kind of it's a little bit of an uncomfortable place to be in, especially when you really want them to win as badly as we do. But it is cool to see them be able to balance those things out.
Yeah.
So I'm actually enjoying watching this part. Like, I think about how a couple of weeks ago when Rafael Stone said, you know, talking about the Rockets general manager, Rafael Stone, that is, talking about how we're not a developmental team anymore. That's why we traded Cam Whitmore. The Astros haven't been a developmental team in a long time.
No.
And certainly aren't one now. But here they are simultaneously developing guys and chasing a ring.
Well, what we're learning is that the ability to say we're not a developmental team is a bit of a luxury.
Yes.
You know, the injury gods have a lot to say about how developmental your team becomes if you get waylaid with injuries like the Astros have.
Yeah.
And they're at a point where they couldn't pick and choose who to bring up anymore. Like, if in a perfect world, Bryce Matthews would not be on this team now.
No
question about that.
Yeah, to be clear about it, like, the Astros aren't in a developmental stage, and Bryce Matthews is very much still in the developmental part of his career, and they didn't bring him up to be developing.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he's doing, and, you know, simultaneously, as I mentioned, but that's not why he was brought up. He was brought up to do what he did last night. We need you, bro.
This is the lineup you could put together with injured Astros right now. Your DH would be Yordan Alvarez.
Pretty good.
And when I play in this fantasy world, I'm like, pretend these guys weren't on an injured list. Pretend you had the fully healthy versions of these guys.
Right.
Which lineup is better, the current one or this one? Alvarez is your DH.
That one already seems pretty good because he's got Alvarez.
I don't care who's DHing. Yordan is healthy is better than that person.
Yeah.
First baseman would be Zach DiCenzo.
Not bad.
Not bad. You know, Christian, I'm going to respect Christian Walker here, and especially he started to hit a little bit. Walker's probably the better option there.
Walker, by the way, not to sidetrack, is hitting .317 over the last 15 games.
Yeah, no, he's hitting better. Like, yeah. Walker is clearly the better option at first base. Brendan Rodgers, second base. I guess it would depend on who you have at second with this current version of the Astros. It's sort of a revolving door because, you know, it could be Bryce Matthews. It could be Mauricio Dubon. It could be any number of guys.
Brendan Rodgers was credited a zero at the plate, but a pretty good defensive second base.
Won a gold glove a few years ago, yeah. Jeremy Pena and Isak Paredes are better than anything you're trotting out at shortstop or third. They're all stars. They're better than anything you're trotting out there right now.
That's probably your three to start, right? Jeremy Pena, Isak Paredes, and Yordan Alvarez.
And Yordan Alvarez might be your three.
That leads your lineup.
That leads your, yeah, yeah. And obviously Altuve is on the other side of things. Maybe he's your second baseman. Who knows? Your outfield, okay. I mean, it's Jake Meyers, who's had a good season until he pulls his calf muscle. And then your other two would be Jacob Melton and Pedro Leon on the injured list, to which you go, all right, well, these are guys who are just, you know, just sort of minor league fringe guys. Yeah, so are the guys that are replacing them right now. You know, like Taylor Trammell and Cooper Hummel ain't exactly household names.
Dude, the Colorado Rockies want to trade for this lineup, right now.
This lineup, in a seven-game series with the Rockies, they'd sweep them, this lineup here, maybe 4-1. The starting pitching, okay, the normal Astros, the Astros currently have Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. I know Hunter's not been great of late, but Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez, your rotation would be Arrigetti, Javier, Garcia, Blanco, Wisniewski, with J.P. France sort of sitting off to the side over there.
But that's not bad.
It's not bad.
I think you could do far worse.
If you get the versions of Javier and Garcia that were on the that were part of the World Series rotation.
Yeah.
It's a deeper rotation. Ronel Blanco won, 11 or 12 games last year.
Yeah, I mean, especially Javier. Like, a healthy Javier.
Is elite.
Yeah, it's easy to forget now because it's been so damn long.
And Arrigetti's been, Arrigetti, second half of last season was pretty good. Now, your issues are, thankfully, they don't have nearly enough relievers on the injured list now to put a bullpen together. Sean Dubin would be coming in and doing all of your relief pitching.
Oh, man. They'd need Yordan to go out there and pitch.
And we'd have
to teach
Luis Guillorme how to catch because he's sort of the leftover guy who doesn't really have a position here, and there's no catcher on this team.
Yeah.
I feel like Guillorme is kind of shaped like a catcher, though.
Yeah, no, he is.
He's got that catcher physique.
Yeah. Which is that like a borderline insult when you tell somebody that they're shaped like a catcher?
Anytime you start a sentence with "you're shaped like," it isn't a borderline insult.
Yeah.
Period. Point blank. Period.
Yeah. Unless you end it with like "you're shaped like Arnold Schwarzenegger."
That's a great point. Yeah. The catchers who, unless the catcher thing ends with like Mike Piazza or something like that, he was pretty yoked.
I'm trying to see how serious of a conversation we're gonna have with John Lopez.
Yeah. Why is Lopez wearing a wig? A wig from like the Whig Party back in
the day.
That's
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is the wig that we will be using for our weekly segment, Judge John Lopez. Things in sports on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Usually at 12:40.
It came in, baby.
And so it's the Deion Sanders philosophy of look good, play good, play good, they pay good.
Yeah.
You know I mean, like that's what we're going for here. Okay. We want him to get fully in character.
I love that y'all went with the wig instead of like a robe.
Well, he's supposed to have a robe as well. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that.
I feel like that's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little hot for
him. Simple Amazon order, right?
It's a simple Amazon order. Okay. Came in yesterday afternoon.
Okay. Yeah. And what do you type into the Amazon order? Like slave owner, white guy from the
slave owner,
dead president. Like what? Like
you know what? Now I'm gonna try that.
No, I would not. I don't think we need to fill the algorithm
antebellum.
No. Actually, yeah. I did. I think I did British judge wig.
Okay.
Yeah.
Knocked it out of the park.
You did it.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you guys something that B. Scott and I were talking about. I don't know if you saw this, but WWE and Fandango reached an agreement. Fandango, the movie ticket app, reached an agreement yesterday to partner up to where they're going to show WWE pay-per-views at movie theaters, like SummerSlam coming up in a week or so.
We did hear that.
You can watch over here at the movie theater right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
I would be inclined to go. It's a two-night event. I would be inclined to go at least one of the two nights just to see what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
But I've watched. I mean, I'm old. You and I are both old enough, John, to have watched boxing matches. Closed
circuit. I was just telling him.
I watched WrestleMania 3 closed circuit theater at the Warner Theater in Torrington, Connecticut with Rob Stone.
Me and
Rob Stone went and watched WrestleMania 3, and it was awesome. Everybody's high-fiving. It was Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan. It was crazy. Would you be inclined, and maybe not wrestling, you're not a wrestling guy, but if it were some big sport, like an Aggie game or something like that, would you be inclined to go watch that ahead of watching it at home on your couch?
I'll tell you what I told Reggie when we heard you guys talking about this.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's fun.
It's no, it's better than TV.
Yeah.
Because you got crowd there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got crowd there. I mean, I grew up watching, sometimes we watched them on the radio. That was a thing back in the day. But my dad would take me to, like...
I feel like the verb is wrong there, but
anyways. Yeah, I know. We used to say you want to watch it on the radio. Anyway, like the Ali fights. Like, I watched several Ali fights at the Majestic Theater in San Antonio.
Closed circuit TV.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it this way, though, it does feel like the best of both worlds.
Yes.
You know, it's like you get the TV experience and the bar communal fellowship experience at the same time.
The question I would ask, though, is how much do you get of that communal experience? Because that was my first thought, is like, do you get the communal experience if we are all sitting in our seats and, I guess, ostensibly being quiet?
No, you're not being quiet.
Oh, you're not.
No, it's difficult to see it that way.
I remember it loud.
No one's watching it like you watch a movie. You're watching it like you're at a sporting event.
That's okay. How
the ones I've been to.
That's how I would
see it. That's how I remember it.
Yeah, you're allowed to. It's like you're at a sports bar, but it's the biggest screen you could possibly think of.
I think it would be awesome. I think you'd go back.
I think I would too. I think I would like it. I again, like when I was younger, a teenager, I actually watched, you know, closed circuit events in an environment like that, and I never remember having a bad time. There was always a good time. Have you seen this? If you heard us talking, you heard us talk about this. This, I think it's pronounced COSM. It's COSM.
Yep, COSM. Yeah. They have them in Dallas, in Los Angeles, and I think the newest one that they are working on is in Atlanta. It is very intriguing to watch. Like, it seems so incredibly immersive. I have a number of friends that have tried it out, and it's always like incredible positive reviews.
They must have agreements with the leagues to put the cameras where they put them. I mean, it's literally like you're sitting courtside at a game, but it is like you're sitting courtside. Like, they go to the other end of the floor.
Yeah.
You know, like you're not. To my knowledge, they don't move your perspective around. I don't know if they do or not. I
can't recall on certain sports. I think basketball is easy because, you know, the NBA has already invested in trying to have some immersive technology when it comes to video. You know, outside of that, I don't know exactly, and maybe I just need to reach out to some folks. I don't know exactly how it works for, like, football officials. You're on the 50-yard line, and if it's like you're getting that kind of, you know, view on the cameras wherever they move the cameras. I don't know.
Yeah, WWE's been doing that too. Like, they've, I don't know what agreements they have with those bars, but people are able to go and sit, and it's like you're sitting ringside. Yeah. It's really, really neat.
I will say that I do appreciate the efforts, even like whether it works to the way that we are imagining or it doesn't. I appreciate the efforts to try and bring communal stuff back. We are way too isolated.
Yes.
People. Well, this is one of those things, and I don't know where the movie business. By the way, Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. I don't know where the movie business is today. You know, we're 5 years post COVID now. Coming out of COVID, the movie theater business was death.
Yeah.
And it was really, I remember the movie that brought everybody back that kind of jump started things was Top Gun Maverick.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That got everybody back in the theaters. And I don't know where, like, if that momentum has carried forward for, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years. This is something that would keep that theater business alive, I think.
It does feel like an attempt to do that. Yeah. Right. Like, even though Top Gun Maverick brought people back, it felt like with streaming and just the way the world was changing even before COVID, and then you add COVID on top of it, that the movie business or the movie theater business was going in the wrong way, going in the wrong direction. Well, how do you fix that? Make people bring a more immersive experience, make it feel more special than it ever has before.
Yeah. And those are, you know, to the point we were talking about before about, you know, how you handle yourself in that environment. The fact that you can kind of cut loose when you're watching a sporting event there, you're not... Everything's not hush-hush. It's kind of cool. There better be alcohol. That's all I have to say about that.
See, now that's the part that gets a little uncomfortable. Yeah. Are we doing the studio movie grill type experience where we can order the drinks to the seat? Because you can't just run, I'm going to go to the bar right quick and pick up an extra beer. Like, you got to leave the theater.
Yeah, for sure. They've got plenty of bars in that one over there, but you're right. You got to walk out. That's like leaving your seat at the Texans game, though. You got to walk up to the concourse and go get yourself one. All right. Question of the day.
That's right.
Question of the day. What's a reboot that should never have happened?
Okay.
Sports, entertainment, life, and it's based on the Rolling Clippers.
Well, when you say life, I imagine there's going to be a lot of exes that show up, you know, spinning the block when you damn well knew that you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But maybe outside of that.
Yeah, no. Don't reboot the booty.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
I don't know. Sometimes it's worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes.
It's not a, it's not a piece of advice that I, you know, I'm very happy to espouse, but there are instances where it makes sense.
Go into it with a clear mind, with a proper expectation.
Mm-hmm. I've got one sports and one non-sports.
Perfect.
And again, this is with having not really had a chance to think it through. The non-sports one, well, it's a sports movie.
Mm-hmm.
Bad News Bears.
Oh, yes.
I did not like them rebooting Bad News Bears with Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, twice.
The one with Walter Matthau back in 1977 is the only. I'm not talking about the sequels. They had Bad News Bears Breaking
that was
Training.
At the Astrodome.
That was at the Astrodome. They had Bad News Bears Go to Japan, which was terrible, but delightfully so.
Yeah.
Talking about the original Bad News Bears, which they tried to reboot with Billy Bob Thornton. No.
Yeah.
Walter Matthau is the only Morris Buttermaker in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That was his name, Morris Buttermaker.
Yeah.
So Bad News Bears is my one. That's my one, like, Hollywood one. The one that popped into my head that just kind of made me sad to think about it because he left us far too soon, and his second act here with the Astros wasn't nearly what the first one was, Ken Caminiti. Coming back
to
the
Astros.
That's
a good one.
That's a great one. I wish I had thought of that.
Ken Caminiti coming back to the Astros when they were still trying to get past the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, it was 1999 was the year. It was the year after the Randy Johnson Astros.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, he wasn't the same player. He was an MVP for the Padres 3 years before that. He just wasn't the same player. And then obviously, as we found out, going through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, so my sports one, when you said it, the only thing that came to my mind immediately was the, and I feel like I've been proven wrong, but at the time I thought this 100%, it was the XFL.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, we're doing that again?
Yeah.
Now, it actually turned out, and I know the Roughnecks did their thing before COVID shut things. But at the time, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That was a disaster.
Yeah.
We're doing this again?
Yeah.
So that was the first thing.
And it was Vince McMahon starting it back up again, too.
Yeah. I think you may remember this, because I think they also asked you a couple of years ago. They came and asked me, hey, do you want to emcee a concert? It's a Flock of Seagulls.
Oh,
and I went, hell yes, I do.
Yeah.
Hell, disaster.
Did you end up emceeing?
I ended up emceeing the concert.
I think they did come to me, and then they went to you. I remember
And I was like, a Flock of Seagulls?
Yeah.
That's my jam, man.
Dude.
They were just decrepit.
Oh, really?
And sounded awful.
Oh.
And I was talking to the lead singer, the guy that used to have the big, you know, remember he had the big hair
I
over
remember
the side
you
of
telling
face,
me about this now,
and he
yeah.
was bald,
oh.
and his whole thing was the hair.
Oh.
Look up, Google a Flock of Seagulls. That dude's hair was like half, it was awesome.
They had one song,
and
right?
I ran.
Yeah.
I ran. They had a couple, I think, but I ran was
so far. That was their famous one.
Yeah.
So if we're doing work-related music stuff, I will say when I was in Beaumont, I had a run-in with Tito Jackson.
Oh!
Rest in peace to Tito.
Wow.
Like, Tito Jackson promoting his solo album.
Mm-hmm.
Solo album.
Yes.
I'm sure there was a lot
and
of
so
people
I,
lining up for this.
Maybe not exactly, but it felt like a reboot because it's like, well, wait a minute. That Tito Jackson, that hasn't been a thing in almost 60
years. Can you name
years.
A Tito Jackson song?
I can't name a song, but I do remember the name of the album.
You do?
It was because it had alliteration.
Yeah.
It was called Tito Time.
As one does. The only name
that
you
can told
get
all
to
the ladies
Tito
back then,
time.
Too.
It's
Tito
so
Time.
I was
Tito
like, time, man, no wonder you're here at my TV station in Beaumont promoting this thing.
If I'm not mistaken, the one Tito Jackson song I can name. I was somewhat of a Billboard enthusiast back in the 80s. I loved Casey Kasem's top 40. I listen every weekend on Sunday. I was like, Dynamite was a song by Tito Jackson. Yeah,
I'm sure if
I'm not mistaken.
It.
Yeah.
Did Jermaine have a song called Let's Get Serious?
Wait, hang on. It was Jermaine Jackson.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I was going to say.
You would not be the first, nor second, nor 30th, nor 500th that mistaked those two.
Boy, me and my big Billboard aficionado thing.
You said.
You really did build it up strong.
I bought it.
At least they're actual brothers.
It was Jermaine who had Dynamite as a song.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I was figuring that too. Because I feel like Jermaine's the only one that's actually done solo work.
Hey. As long as, real quick.
Other than Tito Time.
I bought Eddie Murphy's musical album
back
in the 80s.
That's not the
he
worst
had one
thing
song.
In the world.
Oh, he's
Party
the
one
All the Time.
He had one song.
Party All the Time.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a song that I might be confusing Eddie Murphy.
Party All the Time. Party
and
all
Rick
the
James
time.
In the video.
All the time.
Rick James in the video doing this, like during like one of the like the musical, like rising music parts of it in between verses. Rick James like looking at Eddie Murphy and going,
yeah.
Like, oh, take it up a notch, Eddie. Oh, sorry for you, if you're listening on the Odyssey app or on the radio, but yeah, he did just an intense, like,
yes.
Rick James could be intense, as we learned.
Yes. We did.
It's why he needed some of the substances
as we learned
that were prescribed.
The hard way.
Yeah.
All right.
Or whatever was the chicken or the egg there. I'm not exactly sure.
I believe that's how that went, right?
But yeah. I digress.
We're having so much fun right now.
You want to just hang out? We can keep going.
Hang out for the next 4 hours. All right. We are done. We are out of time. B. Scott, thank you again. I will see you out at the Methodist Training Center tomorrow.
Mike. See you on the field, man. Let's do it.
Yep, we'll be ready. Get on that grass.
We're not exactly sure where, but
we'll
find out. It's something. We'll just show up. You know, we'll do it over a little phone app that we have. Yeah.
The legal kind, right?
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we're yeah.
Texas,
you know.
Right?
Sorry,
okay,
the turf.
My bad. Just had to. Anyways,
the turf.
Sorry, it's a Tuesday and I'm having fun.
I know, man. Yeah. I know. All right, we are done. We are out of time. By the way, Crosstalk brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.